So I have a theme song for my homily today. Some of you may know this song when you hear the title. Some may kind of recognize that it's in commercials and things. It's called Happy by Pharrell Williams. Does this ring a bell to you guys? Is everybody clueless? I thought about playing it for you, but I left my phone in the sacristy. And then I thought that Paul could play it for you. Where'd Paul go? But I thought it might be a little out of his wheelhouse, so I didn't. I don't know. It's not churchy enough. But I thought about this song a lot because our gospel today is all about happiness. And it probably sounds fairly familiar to you, but maybe a little different than what you're used to. Because this is Luke's account of the Beatitudes, and what we're used to hearing, the more popular version, like at funerals and such, is Matthew's account of the Beatitudes up on the Mount. And so, looking at a little bit of the difference between Luke and Matthew, is that Luke was writing to largely a Gentile community, which means he was writing to non-Jews who were becoming followers of Jesus. And so there were certain things that he would want to emphasize, certain wording that he would want to use to make particular points to that community because of their context and their culture. And think of like writing a letter to someone. Depending who it is, the words you use, the tone, what you want to say, it's different based on who you're writing to. And the same holds true for the Gospels. All of the Gospels are true. They contain truth, of course. But each has a little different emphasis, emphasizing different truths about Jesus to relate to their particular community. Matthew was writing to a very Jewish community. And so his emphasis was more to show how Jesus was fulfilling the Old Testament, and in particular was like the new Moses, fulfilling the Mosaic Law. So Matthew, trying to identify with the Jews, thought one way and wrote a certain way, whereas Luke is trying to identify the humanity, talking about the rich and the poor specifically, which would have resonated with the Greek Gentile community he was writing to. Hence the subtle differences we see in some of the same stories. But what's important, though, is what's the same about them. And both versions talk about being happy, about being blessed. Now, you might be wondering, though, where does happiness really play into all of this, given there's woe to you who are filled and who are hungry and all these things? But by worldly standards, what do we have to do to be happy? Have a lot of money? Yeah. Have a really nice vehicle? Yeah, that too. Maybe even multiple vehicles. Have a nice house or multiple houses. We have to have a beautiful spouse and have beautiful kids and the perfect family. But even more than that, by world standards to be happy, we have to be able to do whatever we want, whenever we want. To be happy and free by today's standards is to care only about ourselves, our own ambitions, and have total freedom to do things as we wish, not worrying about anyone else but ourselves. One of the phrases I hear nowadays that's kind of like a motivational topic, so to speak, is, just do you, right? You guys heard that before? Just be you. Just do you. Don't worry about anything else. Now, it's a nice little cliche to maybe try to make someone feel better, but I disagree with that. I would think, how about saying, do God, do Jesus? How about saying, you just do God's will, you just live the gospel? Instead of having those phrases always focused on us and what we do, no, flip it around. Just do God's will. How much better off would our world be if everybody thought in that context, rather than looking to ourselves, looking always to doing God's will? Now, on the surface, it makes sense that, we can't be free if we're controlled. The world gives us a very distorted definition of happiness and freedom. And I'd agree that on the surface that makes sense. So to follow God's law, to follow church teaching, to listen to what Jesus says, to buy into the Beatitudes, on the surface it seems restrictive and controlling. But it turns out it's just the opposite. It would seem like to be hungry, poor, oppressed, any of those things we heard would bring about sadness and we'd be controlled by those negative emotions. But such is not the case with God. What we learn about in today's gospel at the very core is the true definition of happiness. That's why this homily could have a theme song. Now, one of the verses in that song, for those of you who have heard it, you might recognize it, but says, clap along like happiness is the truth because I'm happy. I don't want to sing it because that'll ruin it even worse, but you get the point here. Clap along like happiness is the truth because I'm happy. And you know what? I agree with that. Happiness is the truth. When we define happiness as Jesus Christ himself, these Beatitudes teach us that happiness, true happiness, can be found even in the events of life that challenge us. Why? Because by Jesus' own suffering and unhappiness, he transformed that into a source of joy, source of freedom, and a source of happiness. When we suffer in life, whether in great or in small ways, and we make that our prayer, we allow Jesus to take that on himself, to share that burden, and we become blessed. And those challenges are not for nothing. I know this all seems backward on the surface, but honestly, it only seems backwards because our society is backwards. Happiness is not found in the things that make us feel good, at least not permanent happiness. If we try to find ultimate happiness in the things of this world, we're always going to look for something more. At some point, the well's going to run dry. We're going to be disappointed. More money, better car, new house, new technology, whatever it might be. With Jesus, we receive true happiness even in the face of hard times, which ultimately brings about authentic Christian joy. We're warned in the gospel, woe to you who are filled now. Laugh now, because it's not going to last for long. It doesn't mean if we're happy right now, we're destined for sadness or something like that. What Jesus is trying to say is that if we've put our eggs in the wrong basket, it's going to catch up with us. Only Jesus can satisfy our relationship with him, the sacraments, our trust in him. That is the true nourishment. That is where true happiness is found. As Jeremiah said in the first reading, if we put our trust in the things of the world, our lives will wither and harden like tumbleweeds in the desert. Rather, the true path to happiness in this fallen world is paved with life's challenges and hardships, because by Jesus' own challenges and hardships, they have been transformed. They remind us that we need God and that God is transformative. And so, let today be a day where we recognize where our true happiness comes from and entrust the woes of our life and this world to God so that we can be truly blessed and truly happy. And so if you know happiness is the truth, if you know happiness is Jesus Christ, and you believe in the love of God, then let's all clap along, for indeed we are happy.